Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. This is the moment journalists around the world have been waiting for. Introducing first, in a red corner, he is a judge, weighing in the broken dreams of a Tron player, Nixia Valudel Terratron. And in the blue corner, a mixed magic artist, weighing in nothing but hot air and illusions of grandeur, Igor, Reanimator Mishra Harad! Well, ladies and gentlemen, that has been our new intro. This is the Elder Dragon Doodle Podcast, and this is Igor.
This is Nixra.
And let's go straight to it. First commander of the week.
Wait, didn't you just introduce us in the new intro?
Yes, but we didn't actually listen to the new intro because editing magic and all that, so you know.
Okay.
Anywho, so we have some commanders of the week.
Yeah, well, it was a rough week for me, so I just had some fun with my 99 card combo Karador.
Oh, well. All permanents, all the time.
Yes. And get them all. 98 permanents.
Didn't you have also a red and bloody week as well?
Yeah, but we'll get to that later.
The tears and salt will be heard. So, my commander of the week, as usual, is Alesha, but I have to say that I started working on a primer for her, and it's going to be a long one, as it seems. I made just an introduction and some talk about the colors and why should you play Alesha, and it's already like half page.
Well, half a page?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Plus, there will be a coding involved and all that. Just so you can have all the, you know, show spoiler, hide spoiler things on the page.
Oh.
I'll do it on Tapped Out, so. And if you want to see the list Tapped Out, my Tapped Out account is in the show notes. But let's go to your miserable week, shall we?
Well, so the last, what was it now, three or four modern tournaments at my local game store. When I was playing with my mono green Tron, that once was also powerful and now also sad, I've been running into a lot of a lot of aggro decks, like elves and goblins and more goblins and
Infect
and the robots.
And goblins.
Things like that. Here and there, there would be a mid-range deck, but that was like, oh, yay, a win. Let's take it. Unless they, of course, have all the discards in the start, then I feel a bit miserable, but it still gets to a close game, so it's fun. I like mid-range matchups.
Because you win a lot of times.
Yeah, no, not just that. Anyhow, so I was thinking about modifying my Tron a bit to meet this new aggro threat. I already modified it by including even more 2-drops besides the Nest Invaders with those elves. When they die, they search for a basic land.
Oh yeah, those guys. Yeah, the ones from New Phyrexia, right?
Yes. The 2-mana 2/1. So they're really, so they're like good traders. They can trade into a goblin guide and then fetch me a land. So that's really good. So in a way they are better than Sakura.
Yeah, yeah.
So with that many 2-drops, I included some swords, like Sword of Feast and Famine and Fire and Ice. And when you swing your Sword of Fire and Ice wielding Wormcoil Engine at a mono red player, they tend to be sad.
And how does the worm actually wield the sword is beyond me, but
oh, he holds it in his mouth. Or he just eats it. And gains the effect.
Aha. Or he just puts it in like a toot and swings.
Yeah. That could work.
Okay, we solved the mystery.
That's why we have so many Worm's Tooths as cards, because they replace them with swords.
To gain all the life.
So, anyhow, that happened a long time ago, so let's not dwell on that. And I've been losing all these matchups, all these aggro matchups, fairly effectively losing. So I even tried adding, like, Fogs in my main deck.
Huh.
It doesn't really work, because if you were dead that turn...
You're dead next turn.
You were most probably dead next turn.
Yep.
Yeah. It works... In those special cases when you're playing against an Infect player and you need just one more mana for your Ulamog to get rid of their stupid lands that attack you. And... But those cases are so rare, it's really not worth playing, like, dead cards most of the time. And also, what I thought would be a really good addition was Pulse of Murasa. Because Ghost Quarters are a thing, and people play them a lot in their main board nowadays.
So what does the Pulse actually do for the uninitiated?
Pulse of Murasa is a 2 and a green instant from some of the new Zendikar. I think it's from Oath of the Gatewatch. And it says, it's an instant, and it says you return a creature or land card from your graveyard to your hand, and you gain 6 life. So with all the Ghost Quarters... It basically turns into 3 mana, tutor a Tron piece, and gain 6 life.
That sounds okay.
That sounds really good, and it was really good once. And not because it fetched the Tron piece, but because it revived my Nest Invader. So it actually gave me like a couple of turns against robots. Also, I tried playing all the removals, the colorless removals, those two colorless removals.
Yes, those two cards.
And it just didn't work out. So, this time, people were telling me, yeah, we'll make a red-green Tron. Well, yeah, that would be really nice, but I don't really have the components to make such a deck. So, especially the, you know, 4 Karns.
Yeah, I mean, Karns aren't cheap.
4 Karns aren't cheap. And they, you know what else isn't cheap?
The Willows?
Yeah, well, that too, but also those stupid uncommons. Those... what are the names now?
What do they do?
Ancient Stirrings.
Oh!
They're really expensive, actually.
How much do they go these days?
They're like 4 to 5 euros.
Damn! Boy, what the hell?
Maybe you can get them at 3, but I'm going to say they're like 4 euros a piece. So, yeah, Placeit is actually quite expensive.
When I get back from the season, I'll have to take a look. Do I have any of those commons? They're commons!
They're uncommons.
No, Ancient Stirrings. Common.
They're commons? Oh.
Yeah, in a set that was really largely printed. And it's not like they were printed in, you know, Worldwake, which was really bought and you can't get any more of the packs.
Oh, well. Well, look, I also need those Chromatic Stars and things. I don't even have them. And I don't feel like getting them because, frankly, I'd rather have actual cards than cards that filter my deck, because filtering your deck is actually pro, and I should actually do that so my deck gains consistency. But hey, who needs consistency when you can whine about not getting anything consistently?
Well, if you had a consistent deck, we wouldn't have any content on the show, so yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why I decided, you know what? You add red to a deck, and it gets better in Modern, right? You take green and... You take... not Gruul. You take... Golgari.
Yeah.
Which is also, which is already a good combination. You add red, you get Jund. Jund is amazing, right?
But is Jund Tron amazing?
I mean, generally, that deck is really good.
Jund is always good.
You have Azorius, you add red, you get a really good deck again, which is actually now, you get Jeskai, and it's actually starting to be really popular now, right?
Yeah.
With that new Nahiri, that obviously goes for an Emrakul. And so, you know what? If adding, if splashing red is good, then going all red is probably amazing, right? I mean, mono red is a thing, and it's strong.
Let's go with that.
Let's follow this logic. So, you, through my impeccable logic skills, I came to the conclusion of making a mono red Tron. Why? Because then I get to use lightning bolts, pyroclasms, Kozilek's return, sudden shocks, and bonfire of the damned.
You know what card would be perfect with this, if only if it were modern legal? Rain of Salt. Just, it'll be perfect card for the deck.
And Rolling Thunder. I also ran Rolling Thunder. So,
Rain of Salt.
So, I ran four bolts, four sudden shocks, only one pyroclasm and one Kozilek's return. One bonfire and one Rolling Thunder. Why Rolling Thunder? Well, it was the I wanted to play with that instead of another pyroclasm, I guess.
It's a because fun
it
card.
Can go face. It can go face and kill people with Tron. I never actually managed to miracle my bonfire, but oh well.
Did you think about getting Magma Quake or something like that if they get Planeswalkers?
Well, if they get Planeswalkers, Karn needs them, right? Because you obviously top deck Karn. Always.
Yeah, because you have four of them, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But how has the mono red been treating you?
You know what? I got matched with Infect, and my god, Sudden Shock is actually absurd against Infect. Because they can't... It's like... Normally, you would, like, I bolt your elf, and they're like, I give it Shroud, or something like that, but then you go, like, they attack you, say, I sudden shock your guy, and they're like, no, I pump it, you say, no.
Response, you can only get sad, and that's all you can do.
Yeah, it just demolishes all their win conditions.
See, if they were playing with something like Willbender or something like that, because Willbender can actually do the thing even if it's split second.
Yeah, but still.
Doesn't matter, Willbender.
Oh, he thought about siding in that some kind of like enchantment that says when you're...
The thing.
Yeah, that works too, but that's like 3 mana, right?
Yeah, it's 3 mana.
So it's a all 3 mana do nothing for that turn, which is really good for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's a turn I normally die.
I mean, yeah, that card is actually really stupid in fact, Wall Defiance.
Yeah. Playing four boss, so playing all this sweet, sweet removal really helped, and I won that game.
Spoilers.
But the spoilers, that was the only game I won. I win. I went 1-4 because against this stupid zoo, he managed to top deck his second red source to cast his two sideboarded Molten Rains. Both of them. And I was like, you know, I side like the 10 cards when I play against robots, and then after like 2 mulligans to get to them, I still don't see them. But hey, yeah, you can have your Molten Rains you just play two Molten Rains, you have all of them all the time, yeah, of course.
But generally, how are you happy with the deck? Are you happy with the deck?
I'd be happier if I could ditch the Trons and put in Eldrazi Temples, because the deck almost won some games against midrange, if only I played Warping Whale to counter that Crumble to Dust, which crumbles me to tears every time.
And so, how much would it actually take for you to jump on the Eldrazi train?
I don't know. I just can't get my hands on any of those temples. I don't think they're too expensive.
No, they're not.
But I'm still going to try out the Mono Redtron a bit, because, oh yeah, what happened actually, there was another major tournament in another city, so all the aggro players went there. That's why I didn't get into any aggro matchups.
They went to my home stomping grounds, to Osik.
Yeah, that's where they went, and that's where all those sweet matchups for me went.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to read the deck list. You tell me which format it is. 4 Eldrazi Temple, 3 Eye of Ugin, 4 Endless One, 4... Nope, it's Vintage. It's Vintage.
The moment you said 4 Eldrazi Temple, it was like, obviously, it's Legacy already.
4 Eldrazi Mimic, 4 Endbringer, 4 Matter Reshaper, 4 Reality Smasher, 4 Spatial Contortion, 4 Thought-Not Seer, 4 Whopping Whale, 4 Eldrazi Displacer. Who said you need to spend a lot of money to play Vintage? You just buy, like, 3 Fat Packs, and you're good.
Yeah, Thought-Not's actually a really good card.
Yeah, they actually play it a lot in the VSL. And you know me watching VSL religiously, so... White Eldrazi are actually popular in there.
So, yeah, I was thinking about switching to Mono Blutron, at least.
So you could...
What I consider... when I say Mono Blutron, I mean playing only Islands as basics and playing some counter spells. That's Mono Blutron.
And Cyclonic Rift? For me.
Oh, and you have Spellburst, which brings me back to the old Ravnica days when Ravnica and Tron lands were together. Huh. So Spellburst could counter infinite spells.
Also, you can get Cyclonic Rift in the deck.
Yeah, but I think I'll try my luck with Mono Red Tron once again.
Yeah.
And if this time I get into, like, 3 to 4 out of 5 matchups against midrange, I'm going to flip out.
I mean, it seems to me like you've been really unhappy with the Tron lately, so you should maybe try to shift to another deck.
Well, I don't have another deck. That's the problem.
That's what I'm saying. You should start getting something else.
Well,
like Eldrazi.
Well, the thing is, I get stuff for my EDH decks, well, not so much for my model.
Yeah, that's a thing, but still.
I mean, I do have a land destruction deck in the making, but since when is land destroying lands good and modern?
I actually think I've seen something on SCG like that. But
I would like to make a Jeskai land destruction, but that's really expensive, because you need at least 4 flagstones of Trokir, and because those work so well with turn 2 boom.
Or that thing that makes each player sacrifice a permanent.
Or that, yeah, that too. But it's better with boom, because you get your boom in your graveyard, and then your goblin bank dwellers get your boss.
It would be much cheaper to go the Eldrazi route, wouldn't it? Than making that Jeskai.
I'll just add the reality. No, wait. What's it called? Let me just.
Totals here?
The cards. It's like. Right here on my pad, let me reach it! Okay. Matter Reshaper.
Oh yeah, he's okay.
Matter Reshaper into Thought Knots, into, you know, Burn. And then Reality Smasher, that's fun.
Yeah, and also the Mimic. You know what's also really fun? Having the Eldrazi Mimic and then Eldrazi displacing the Reality Smasher again.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Plus, the deck seems really cheap to make. Cheapish, I mean.
Oh, Mono White Tron, maybe.
Ooh. Why?
Because of Angel's Grace, of course.
Could we not? Could we just not?
Well, don't get me started on the Mono Black Tron and the, you know, that spell that takes somebody's turn, you know.
I mean, if you keep on, like, this Mono Blue Tron will be perfect for you because of all the, you know, teardrops, aka blue symbols. Because you'll be crying a lot.
No, look, I can just, like, what's that spell even called? From Journey into Nyx, that you take somebody's turn. For 9 mana.
Worst Fears?
Oh yeah, Worst Fears. You can just put a Urborg into your deck, one copy of it, and then you can cast it, no problem.
Ooh, good thing. All you can, you know, mindslave people.
Well, yeah, I do that too. I just don't have any recursion for it, but one Mind Slave is just enough.
So I gotta say, this modern podcast is really going well for us, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Maybe we should move on to our, you know, main topic of the week.
Well, isn't hearing me whine the main topic of every week?
Yes, but this is the main topic of this week specifically.
Oh. Okay.
We all know this is Nyxia bitch.podcast, but we have to talk about something else, or else we're going to lose all the few people that are listening to us.
Yeah, let's go. Let's just, you know, yeah.
Oh, before we go to the main topic, I have to give a shout out to @VikingMTG and what is his name? Oh, yeah, Ormendal J. Simpson on Twitter. Those are two of our listeners that are actually quite active with me on Twitter, and they're really cool guys. So, shoutouts. And now, before we start with the main topic, I have to tell a little story to intro us in. You already know the story, but listeners might enjoy it. So, I was playing with my Alexia against my girlfriend's Prosh, and she had Utvara Hellkite out, you know, the guy who, whenever dragon attacks, she gets a 6-6 dude.
You mean a 6-6 dragon?
Yeah, that's a dude. Because she has a dragon deck, almost everything is a dragon, so it's a dude.
Okay.
So basically I'm like, well, this isn't good news for me, because I'm going to die horribly if that thing is left on the field. So I draw my card for the turn. Oh, look, it's Fiend Hunter, and what do I have in the play? Viscera Seer, what could I do? So Fiend Hunter comes into play with Exile Trigger on the stack. I sacrifice it to put it in the graveyard, and then, you know, the least battlefield trigger goes in the stack. My girlfriend gets really confused because what the hell is this? And then we had a 15-minute discussion that even Nyxia had to join in to explain her what is that, how is that happening. I mean, she figured out how is that happening, but not why is that actually a thing that's allowed to happen. Nyxia summed it up the best. Even Wizards knows that's a bullshit thing to do, so they changed it up a bit later. But, yeah, what I wanted to say, that's our topic for this week. Dumb rules interactions in the EDH. And what can we exploit to make our opponents cry? I mean, to have efficient decks, yeah.
Well, except for that Fiend Hunter, and other various effects similar to that.
Yeah, butchers and things like that.
What's really fun to exploit is everyone's favorite, well, no.
Level of preparation.
Deadeye Navigator.
Oh, Deadeye. Oh.
Him and any of the Evoke creatures.
Yep.
That's, like, so fun to exploit. especially the one that everybody runs, that Muldrifter.
Mm-hmm.
So you just pay him 3 mana, he comes into play, you draw 2 cards, then you, in response, then he binds with the Deadeye Navigator.
Yep. And then you flicker.
And before he sacrifices himself, you blink him. And since he's a new entity, he's not under the I sacrifice myself rule. So
I mean, 5
mana... And you draw 2 more cards.
5 mana, get a 2-2 and draw 4 cards. Sounds like a good creature.
2-2 flying.
Yeah, I would play that. I mean, I often do, so yeah. Also, with those stupid triggers on the stack thing, you know who's a good guy? Tidehull Scholar. He comes into play, somebody reveals their hand, then you discard, exile non-land card, and when he dies, you know, they get that card back, unless you do the stupid thing.
Or you can just use Mesmeric Fiend, who does basically the same.
Why not both?
Or both, and the
yep.
extra douche, I mean, extra
efficient. No, I think douche is really a good way to put it.
Oh no, extra efficient.
Also, there is one good friend of ours called Mangara of Condor.
Yeah, isn't Carcass banned?
For a good reason. For a good reason. So basically, Mangara says one and a tap, if I'm correct, you exile her and some other permanent, right?
Yes.
But if you remove her in response to the ability from the battlefield, the ability still does as much as it can. AKA that other permanent, well, it's gone. Well, Mangara, either if you Caracas to the other, bounce it with some other means, you can do stupid things with that, is what I'm saying.
Also, Caracas just removes there, in general. So,
I wonder why Caracas is banned in this format. I have no idea.
Well, you know, they just play Uriel the Mistalker, so they can't touch you.
Uriel the Mistalker. That's one of the banes in EDH, which I haven't seen in a long time. Which is good.
I mean, besides the whole Razia's Purification, leaving Uriel and 3-2 enchantments on him.
No, I haven't faced him in a long time, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, probably for the best.
I'm not complaining, so... Also, one really good card to do stupid things with is Reconnaissance. So, you attack and, you know, even if they don't block your guys, you can still, before the attack step ends, the combat ends, you can still untap them, even though they dealt damage.
Yeah, that's the same with the Ninjutsu.
Yep.
Even after something deals damage, let's say you have your John Finkel that's swinging, you really want to put in Sakashima's student in,
yep.
But you really want that card, so you can get your card, and then after he dealt damage, you can switch him with Sakashima's Imposter. Sakashima's Imposter won't deal damage, but he does his thing.
He becomes something.
He becomes a balanced clone for just 2 mana.
Yeah, because clones are balanced for 2 mana.
I mean, yeah, the last 2 mana clone dies to if anything looks at his way funny.
Unless it gets hexproof because it's copying some kind of, you know, saint.
Yeah, sure.
Guys, the same draft. It was a standard thing.
Yeah, I know.
It was painful to watch. I wasn't playing standard because I never do, but it was painful to watch. Just come on, Wizards, why did you do that?
Or, you know, you can just chain Sun Titans. Well, that's my cell phone, but guess who's not getting an answer?
A person that's calling, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
Any more stupid things you can remember? Basically, what judgy things can you remember that are stupid like that?
Well, I'm sure. I never actually saw... Oh. I remember, this is something I learned when I was learning the rules of Magic the Gathering. This card game we play.
Oh, that's it.
I have him on Russian, so I can't remember its name. Dimir Doppelganger.
Oh, Dimir Doppelganger, yes. She's good.
But did you know, you can copy, with Dimir Doppelganger, you can copy on a Kamigawa flip card, and then you can flip it, and it becomes that new card. But that new card still has Dimir Doppelganger's ability. So, the thing is, you can, after Dimir Doppelganger becomes a copy of something that's not a flip card, it stays flipped. So, when it becomes a copy of another Kamigawa flip card, it becomes flipped.
Oh my god.
Automatic. It's already flipped.
Wow.
Because that effect on it lasts until it leaves the battlefield.
I just remembered another fun thing. Endraxar Master Breeder equipped with Assault Suit, and then you have enough tokens that he has to sacrifice himself. But he can't. But he has to. You know what happens? The game ends up in a draw.
No, he just doesn't sacrifice himself.
But he has to.
But he can't.
That's the point, it loops.
And but you can't. It doesn't loop, it just doesn't actually do anything.
Wait.
No, you wanna know what happens, you know what causes an infinite loop?
What?
You donate, you play Lich's Mirror. You donate Lich's Mirror, you play Reign of Gore. An opponent loses the game infinitely.
By the way, magicjudges.tumblr.com are speaking against you about the whole end of starting.
What?
So, Endrak... End of Star will keep on triggering over and over and over. Unless somebody removes either enough Trolls, Endrak, or the suit from the battlefield, the game will end in a draw.
Endrak's, what, really?
Yes, Endrak's trigger is what it's called a stage trigger, which means it looks for a specific state to be met, rather than looking for a specific event to happen. So here is how it plays out. Endrak triggers. When a trigger goes to resolve, he won't be able to sacrifice him, so nothing will happen. Then, since there is no longer a copy of the state trigger on the stack, it'll trigger again, and again, and again. And again, and again, and again.
Oh my god, I just thought that nothing happens and, you know...
Oh, stupid things happen.
Life goes on, but nope. No, life must be hard.
No, it's not hard, it just stays in a consistent state of looping.
Yeah, just like Lich's Mirror and Rain
of
War.
Basically,
gain life, but because setting your life up is... considered gaining life,
yes.
So Reign of Gore just kills you again. And since you can't shuffle Lich's Mirror into your deck, since you're not the owner of it, it stays on the battlefield, so you lose again, and again, and again.
You keep on losing the game.
I mean, why would you do that? If he just lost the game, why do that? Why end the game in... Because why not? You just hate somebody so much.
You do that and just watch him in the eyes, so you establish dominance.
Yeah.
So when you go to game two, he knows. He knows.
He knows. Yeah.
And Endraxar and Assault Suit is something like, okay, there is no way I'm winning this game, but I can make sure that nobody else wins the game.
Yeah, that's like a failsafe. That's like a really asshole-y failsafe. What the hell, man?
That's like, I don't feel, this person already won like 3 times tonight. Not anymore.
Wow.
I should put that in the index.
Or it's like you're playing a multiplayer and you see you are going to lose, but you don't really want that one person to win, so you just,
well,
we all...
nobody wins.
Well, we all lose. No, we end in a draw. Oh, so we didn't win?
Yeah, no. Nobody
so wins. Everybody loses. Yes.
Just like in life, nobody wins. Oh, I just made myself sad. Should we talk about something a bit more more fun?
Well, you know what? I'm sure that the new mastermind of the Dimir Guild has some really stupid interactions, but I can't...
Mr. Lazav?
Yeah, but I can't really... There's nothing on top of my head, really.
Ah, we'll remember something later. Oh, and I was going to EDH Rec, you know, the page? The page that recommends you, you know, the cards for your decks. And I was looking all time most decks that were made. You want to see, hear the fun police? Most decks ever made all time. Olora, Aegis Ascetic, 773 decks. Isn't that fun? Next up is Nekusar.
The group hug?
No, Nekusar is never a group hug. Karador is Goat Chieftain. He's kind of fair, but not so much.
Yeah, you can actually he was he was really highly considered to be banned.
I mean, I get
so,
it.
He's because he's so powerful. I mean, I don't blame.
Next up, Kali of the Vast. Next up, Prosh. Next up, Narset, Animar, Marchesa, Gave, Riku. All the fun police guys, although Riku can be fun, if you make him fun.
Yeah.
Oh, you know who's under Riku? Derevi. Imperial Tactician.
Oh, you mean one of the most broken commanders of all time?
You mean Stax Incarnate? Yes, I mean him.
You mean the permanently cost 4 can't be countered commander mm-hmm. with Splash?
Although Pitting Needle is a fun thing.
And
and they just look at you and go, oh, come on.
And Stifle.
Yep. But
then again,
Pitting Needle is much more fun. Just like, mm-hmm.
They're playing white. It's not gonna stay, so okay.
But if they're playing Stax, their things might not untap, so... on all these fun cards, I was surprised to find that Alesha was actually high up at 400 decks. Like, wow. Also, Zergo, 406 decks. Didn't know that these guys had so many people playing them. I'm not surprised with the top 15, but I was surprised with actually fun decks showing up.
Well, when you mentioned it, I wanted to check out how many ninja decks there are. And what kind of commander they're using. It turns out Sig isn't a popular ninja commander. But
Sig isn't
the Nightclad is.
Which makes sense, actually.
Well, yeah, but Sig is such a better commander. Sig is actually, I think that's the perfect ninja commander.
Sig draws a lot of cards, which is really good. Even if you don't do anything.
Sig is just that engine that keeps your ninjas moving forward. Because the ninjas don't have a lot, don't really have that much draw. They have one ninja that draws.
I mean, you're playing blue, so you really shouldn't have any problems. And black.
No, because you're not playing that kind of ninjas, you're playing flavor ninjas. And
oh,
they
that's another
don't
thing.
Have a lot of drawing blue.
And I was going to say, Sig has a bonus of not looking threatening.
No, actually, Sig has the look of, hey, everybody, attack me. Because people read it and they, oh, so when you lose 3 life, you don't draw a card? Well, I guess, but, okay, I attack you. What? Player number 2, I attack you. What? No, stop, attack each other! It kind of goes that way.
You just have to give them some incentive to attack each other.
Yeah, but then that's a different kind of Sig deck.
Why? Because ninjas often use distraction as the method of fighting. So you could actually make a flavor argument that, yes, it's actually a good thing to have destruction things. Like, yeah, attack this guy, he'll draw a card. Why can't you put Edric in this deck?
Because he's green.
But it would be so perfect.
It would.
I mean, yeah, guys, don't attack me. Hit each other.
And then you draw cards, they draw cards, everybody draws cards, everyone's happy.
Yeah, and nobody's attacking you.
Except when they figure out that you're in what you're doing, and then they kill you.
Yeah, but people often figure that out way too late. Like, oh, you're at 15 life, he's at 40.
Oh,
wait.
Yeah, but then they remember it in game 2.
Oh, well. Then you switch deck.
No, then you just beat them with your swords.
Oh, that's a thing. That's a thing.
Because ninjas are really good with swords.
Apparently. That's what the legends
except
say.
When you ninjutsu them in, then they're really bad with swords.
Then they're really good with size.
Yep.
What was... by the way, speaking of EDH Rec, we might have the owner of the site coming on the podcast.
Oh.
Yeah. Because he is big in Commander, and why not? Because I use his page a lot, so...
He's obviously big in Commander.
I mean, it would be sad if he's like, no, man, I'm really a Legacy player. EDH doesn't do anything for me. Now, that would be a really big twist.
Like Captain America level twist.
Something like that, yeah. Hail Hydra. I saw an image that, now that we're talking about it. You see him saying Hail Hydra. In the next panel, you see some Goku saying...
Oh, yeah, spoiler alert.
people have seen it.
Yeah.
Son Goku says, I'm not hungry, and things like that. So what's the next thing we should talk about? Oh yeah, how about, now that we're talking about it, Ninjas versus Pirates dual decks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, Nixia was digging around on the Mothership site for a while, and what did you find?
I found an old article.
Way old.
Way old. I'm talking like 2008 old.
Yep.
And it's a really cool article about a special product announcement. They announced dual decks, Pirates versus Ninjas. And it would be one of the, you know, dual deck series. It would feature everybody's favorite Higura the Stillwind and Ramirez de Pietro, the greatest pirate of all.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we know one pirate, so... Okay. And it was like it was an April Fool's joke, unfortunately. But they had I guess the link will be in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
And they had really good jokes in it. They even made a video. They even made a video trailer for the dual deck.
No, but the best part of the decks are Mr. Multimuses.
Yeah, except, so both decks had their alternate art, promo, commanders. So Higura had an alternate art of just planes.
Because he's an ninja and you can't see.
Yeah, obviously. While Ramirez had some kind of new art.
You know, actual art where it doesn't seem like a female.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of Ramirez's character, so I don't know, really. It's just cool.
Gender fluid pirates, see.
But the best part was, the Mistform Ultimus. So since Mistform Ultimus is every creature type, they made two alternate art Mistform Ultimus Psy. One is an illusion ninja, the other is an illusion pirate, and they both had themed art. and the decks, actually, if they were legit, they would be serious money decks. Like, ninjas had cards like Sneak Attack, and What else? Well, I think that's about it.
Argotian Swine.
Argotian Swine, and not one, not two, but five sudden deaths.
Yep.
Because you just can't kill enough.
I mean, they're ninjas. All the killing they do is really sudden.
Yeah, and the pirate deck, well, the pirate deck had, like, Necropotence and Threads of Disloyalty and Treachery and Dark Depths.
So basically you had dollar bills inside the dual deck.
Yeah. You also had Barbary Apes in the Pirates, which makes sense, I guess. Somewhere in their joking development phase, it did make sense.
I don't think they were actually joking. They were just really tripping balls.
Yeah, that would explain the unglued and unhinged cards inside.
That would be just, oh look, bat salts. Wonder what can we do with those?
A carnivorous death parrot.
Yarr.
See, yeah, that's like, I hope they like revisit this. Oh, let's not forget the pirate deck also had Tropical Island, Richton Port, Watery Grave. Well, now slightly more expensive Mikokoro, Center of the Sea.
So basically, yeah. You would buy the decks just for the pirate deck.
Yep.
Because here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
Oh, like, there's also a picture of Ninja of Deep Powers actually riding the Argotian Swine.
I mean, nobody would see that one coming.
No, I would never actually see that one coming.
Just imagine having a Argotian Swine in your EDH deck, just like, I'm attacking with a swine.
Oh. But he's green. Okay. So?
Shitty face.
You don't have any green sources. So? It's a ninja swine.
Now you just make a smoke bomb, throw it on the Argotian Swine and switch it with the Ninja Deep Powers.
You know what? That's something I should actually do.
I would be like
mini smoke bombs and whenever I use ninjutsu, I just, you know, throw it. I mean, I would be able to use, like, two or three of them before I was kicked out and banned out of the store, but it would be fun.
I would be laughing my ass off if you did that.
Okay.
Like, okay.
Oh, I have this some kind of fireworks called, Devil's Crack. No, it's not Crack.
What exactly
it's
did you get?
Draži Prasak.
Aha, uh-huh, Devil's Boon, something like that.
Well, let's say, it's just like a completely harm. It's like a little tea bag filled with two rocks. And when it hits hard surface, they just make a
pop.
So it's really, so yeah, that could actually be a good substitute.
You could actually, I encourage you to do that, actually.
I'm going to do it.
I see you going to the firecracker shop, like, every week. Just to get your supply of those.
I don't do ninjutsu that much. It's EDH, anyways. And
you
there's, like,
do
five
it.
Ninjas. Come on, wizards. I was hoping for a ninja deck commander this year, but no. They're going to go...
I mean, like I told
four
you.
Four-color commander.
Like I told you, it's made before color ninjas, because then you can put your Goten Swines in the deck.
That is true. What if they make a ninja Nephilim?
What?
Why not? There's a ninja demon.
I mean, Niksha, my deck can only get so hard, so, you know.
There's a ninja demon, so let's get a ninja Nephilim out there.
No. You know what would be the best thing ever? Ninja Angel. Or even better, Ninja Dragon. Sneaky giant thing flying in the sky.
Yeah, that reminds me of that, of, you know, card types like Tree Folk Assassin and Giant Assassin. Like, what?
No, Assassin actually makes sense because you don't have to be sneaky to be Assassin. You just have to go and find your target and kill him.
No, but the Tree Folk Assassin is actually sneaky.
Oh, yeah, so I mean, just... yeah. But giant. But
that's actually kind of effective, because he just pretends to be a tree, then when somebody sits under him, he just pokes you with his
branch. She doesn't pretend he is a tree.
Yeah.
And you just hear something about you saying, timber, and then he kills you. now that you mentioned that, I remember the discussion we had about Creed from Warhammer. So basically, Creed is a human general, and his ability a long time ago was that he could give any unit stealth. Which sounds okay until you remember that you have Imperator class titans, which are 60 meter and bigger titans. So imagine just seeing, you know, small dog running on the battlefield, running towards the orcs, and they're ignoring it because, you know, it's a small dog. And then it turns out it's a titan! Because Creed is the best tactician ever. And the orcs just start yelling, Creed! Also, best picture of Creed ever is him playing a game of chess with Cinch, which is the god of, you know, magic and foresight and all that. And Cinch sees in the future, like, billions and billions of years. Yet Creed can get him in a game of chess. Do we have
That reminds me. Yeah? That reminds me. You can sneak attack people with a rogue using a ballista. Just keep that in mind.
For the people who don't understand the reference, I'm going to have to put that in the show notes. But there is a group of guys called Zombie Orpheus Entertainment, and they made a 1-hour-long movie. It's called The Gamers. Basically, it's a bunch of people playing D&D and how it looks like in their heads. And in one of the scenes, their rogue decides to backstab somebody, but it's too big of a guy to actually, you know, kill him with swords or knives or something. So he decides to use the ballista. And it works, for some reason. Now, I'm not...
Because it's within the rules of D&D.
Is it actually? Because I don't know that much of rules of D&D, because I'm more of a 40k person, so...
I'd let it pass.
I wouldn't as a DM, just because ballistas actually take a huge space and have huge setup time, so...
Yeah, but sneak attack means you're attacking an unaware target.
Yes, but you actually have to use the Cinch engine and, you know, crank it and do it all that.
Well, yeah, but they don't have to be aware of that.
You kind of get aware when you hear, you know, timber getting moved and you slamming the hammer to make sure everything is in place. Unless you're actually dragging a full setup ballista.
Oh, is that thunder?
Yes, there will be a storm here.
Okay.
And not the magic kind of storm, so...
Fortunately, oh my god, I hate storm.
I mean, EDH storm is kind of okay.
If you can make it work, then yeah, good for you. You got us.
Actually, Jaleva Storm is a big take and competitive. And CDC Ad Nauseam is also a big thing.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not imagining too competitive.
Yeah, no, I'm not either, but I know that CDC, the mono black one, she's a huge Ad Nauseam thing. Because she just comes into play, gets ad nauseum, and you do your thing, and that's it.
Well, now that we were talking about dumb rules, and now D&D, I just want to talk about D&D, but that's not really part of this?
I mean, you can ramble about it at the end of the show, so that's a thing. And we'll just have to do one or two more things, and that's it, I think. So you can ramble, just hold that thought.
I'll try.
Oh, also, you saw the article in Mana League that I sent you, that somebody solved the Eternal Masters Conspiracy 2 puzzle with the tokens.
Yeah, that's actually amazing that Wizards actually did that again.
So basically, if you bought enough of Eternal Masters 2 packs, each token had a...
Eternal Masters.
Eternal Masters, yeah, sorry. Each of them had, each token had some kind of a quote. And if you connected all of them, you get a huge text, basically Marchesa's proclamation of her becoming a queen of Paliano.
Call for rebellion,
basically, on the other side.
Yeah. Oh, against the false queen.
Where do you stand on that?
No, I'm against Marchesa, of course.
Why?
Because I hate her.
I am a bit more impartial than that, and I'm like, if she had enough power to actually, you know, get the position of the queen, more power to her.
Well, she actually... Well, the only thing she had to do was kill something that can't be killed, so...
Yeah, just that. That's easy to do, right?
But except that she had power because she had a knife at everybody's neck.
I mean, it takes a lot of time and influence to get to that point.
Yeah, but still, that's not really a legitimate way of making business.
Now, is really? It? Really?
What?
Have you ever heard about Orzo or, you know, Dimir?
Oh no, I think they're fair.
Who?
Orzov.
Orzov are fair in really douchey way. Like, here, you signed a contract, now it was 500 pages long, and there was 300 additional pages of the small print, but you signed a contract.
And now we own your immortal soul.
Yeah, something like that. Just for the next 10,000 years. All we did was give you a loaf of bread each day for the rest of your life, and then send thugs to kill you the next day. But you know...
That's fair, I guess.
I mean, it was on the contract. They did give him a loaf of bread for each day he was alive. Now, he was alive just for one more day, but that's beside the point.
Still, they had a legitimate business, I guess.
Yeah, it's a legally binding contract. So, kids, what we're trying to say is read your contracts whenever you sign them. Actually, before you sign them. That's a good time to read it.
Yeah, including when you're installing new software in games, read that and user license agreement.
Sometimes you'll actually laugh when you see things they put in. But nobody actually reads those things, so... Did you see the episode of South Park that was concerning that?
No.
So basically, I can't remember, I think it was Kyle, was installing iTunes. And he didn't read the user agreement. And it said in the user agreement that they can force him to, you know, basically stitch his mouth to somebody else's ass to make human centipede.
Okay.
And just, like... These people agreed with their own will by clicking agrees that we can do this to them. And he was like, wait, didn't you just click on that? No, we read it. But why did you read it? Because of things like this. Turns out it is completely legal for people to be stitched up together and...
Well, yeah, that's South Park.
But, I mean, that's also a movie, Human Centipede, so... Not the whole Apple thing, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know. So, I think that's everything we should have talked about.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Uncharted Realms... Oh, wait. Magic Story of this week.
Yeah.
They didn't really talk about anything important, I guess. It's like, they ended on such a note last time, like, the whole plane started shaking, like an earthquake, only it was something worse, and then they just don't talk about it this week.
Turns out that was just Manowar having a concert.
So I'm guessing that next week, spoilers are starting, and we're finally going to get the symbol of the set.
You know what's it going to be? Basically, Fetulf is going to be the big bad guy of the set.
Of course. I mean, and you know who we should blame for that?
SJWs?
No, Jace.
Oh, okay.
Because Jace is the living Guild Pact. Guild Pact is the magic that protects Ravnica from beings planeswalking in and out. Except for the living Guild Pact himself. And now he's not there, so it's an open plane to everybody.
Yeah, as much as I like Jace, he's really not doing a good job as the living Guild Pact currently.
He's doing a horrible job.
He took a few sick weeks off.
Weeks?
Yeah, well. I mean, story-wise, it's been a couple of weeks.
I'm sure that he hired Pivlicino to work instead of him.
I don't think that's a good idea, actually. Giving that guy the power of all the guilds. Yes, I'm going to text.
Yeah, that power wasn't really anything fabulous. It was like a desk job.
But still, he would find a way to make his business tax exempt and things like that.
Of course.
I don't have to pay taxes, plus I get, you know, tax deductions. And I'm the only person who can provide you with food and things like that for the festival. Yada, yada, yada. So
that was okay with yourself, but yeah, they wouldn't mind.
What are we going to talk about, D&D?
I once, first of all, I was wondering at one point, can I, there's a spell Create Water, and I was thinking, can you actually create water in somebody's lungs? So you can create water in a vampire lord's lungs, and then have the cleric bless the water.
Holy crap.
That would be awesome if not only that I found actually in the player's handbook, there is a small note that says you can't create water inside other beings.
Aww.
I was like, what?
Sad face.
Yeah. And also, I was once playing with my mates, and I was inspired by some guy from Star Wars. I can't remember what. The Expanded Universe. I can't remember him. I only saw a picture of him, but it was a guy wielding two shields. And that was his fighting style, wielding two shields. So I decided that I want to make fighter that fights with two shields, and we actually did that, and I had two shields. I didn't do a lot of damage, but I was pretty tanky.
I mean, you were literally a tank.
Yeah, and it was actually really fun, you know, like fighting with your shields, then going into a defensive position, watching enemies just ignore you because you're nothing. You're not doing anything and killing the rest of your party while they scream that I'm not doing my job.
Also, I mean, fun thing would be just, you know, to stand in front of the mage. And just be like, okay, you do your spell thing. I'll be here.
Yeah, but if you enter your full defensive stance, then you skip your turn. You become a pretty much an immovable object.
That's why you stand in front of the mage, just so he can cast spells in your heal just as a wall, basically.
People can just go around.
No, mage is standing right far away, and you're just in front of him, and that's it.
Well, turns out that while you can wield two shields, you only get armor bonus from one.
That's BS.
Yeah, that was pretty much. Yeah, we weren't sure about that, so we just went with this, because it was cool. It was really cool. I even wanted to upgrade my shields to be spiky, so they're like spiky shields, get them a returning property so I can throw them at people, and stuff like that. Even get a shield mastery for bonus attack and damage.
Talking about shields, when we were playing Dark Heresy in 40k, we had a guy who was an ex-guardsman, and his fighting style was getting a huge riot shield, becoming basically cover for us, and then just lodging grenades over the shield. It was actually surprisingly useful. And especially when we were in tight corridors. He just, oops, becomes an unpassable thing and just lobbing grenades.
One funny thing I wanted to do, because I specialized in a cavalry class that actually has taunt later. I wanted to wield two tower shields.
That sounds awesome, actually.
Tower shields are cylindrical, and they give half cover. And if you get two, you can actually turn into a cylinder, into a full cylinder. It'd just be a box on the battlefield. Taunt people. Then you can taunt people, then they can. So then the enemy can yell, "Our enemies come in metal boxes, the cowards! The fools!"
Did you know that in Dark Souls you can actually wield two shields as a weapon? It's a fighting style in Dark Souls 2. That actually is pretty cool.
You know what? I haven't gone through D&D 5.0 rules. Yeah. So I don't know if that's actually double shield fighting is actually a valid thing there, but I'm be sure to try to make it work if it is.
I mean, you should talk to your DM so he would allow it.
Yeah, I mean, this is such a stupid play style would actually be completely.
It'd be cool.
Yeah.
Plus, if you actually do something cool, imagine how fun it would be for the bards to sing story about you. That guy of two shields. Whatever the name is. So I think we've gone through everything we should have talked about.
And things we weren't planning to talk about.
Well, I mean, we always do something like that, so.
It's part of the fun.
Yeah, but tell us, what did you think about the new intro? Because I really want to know if we should keep it or not. And
you're not asking me.
No, you also give me your opinion if you want right now. But people give us also your feedback, because I really want to know, how did I do? This was just a stupid idea that came to me while I was working, because why should I focus on work?
Yeah, it's your feedback that matters.
Yeah. So, anything else you have to add?
That's pretty much it.
Oh, good. Then, this has been episode 9 of the Elder Dragon Journal podcast. This has been Igor.
And this was Niksha.
And as always, the Emperor protects.
And Taro Artanis.